Ready?
Good morning. This is July 11th, 2023, the Groveland regular monthly board meeting. And I'd like to call the meeting to order. And if we could all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I do the same thing.
The monthly song's cracking.
I went sideways. That's rare.
I appreciate you trying to smooth it back.
Roll call.
Roll call. Director Kwiatkowski.
Present.
Director Armstrong.
Present.
And Director Swan.
Present.
We have a quorum with two absent.
And can we please approve the order of the agenda?
Move to approve the order of the agenda.
I'll second.
Thank you very much. Public comment. Members of the public are prohibited. I'm sorry.
Just can't
okay.
Get out.
Yeah.
Aye.
Can I get
aye.
It? Thank you.
And you?
Aye. Very, very good, Rachel. Members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend this meeting to provide comments on matters of district business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit, 10 minutes on an individual topic. Although no action can be taken on items not listed on the agenda, please know we are listening carefully to your comments. Okay, do we have any public comments?
Does not appear so on my end or on mine.
Okay, we are going to move past that and go right into information items. We'll start with the fire department staff report.
Hello, Travis Chen, fire captain from the Groveland Fire Department. This is the report for the month of June 2023. On June 16th, approximately 3:05 p.m., ended 781 and TCFD ended 631, part of a dispatch to a residential structure fire, the 11,000 block of Lawrence Ferry Road in Groveland. Turned out to be an 8x10 foot outbuilding fully involved with fire, which had spread into a 10x10 foot area in the vegetation. Our crews quickly contained the fire in the outbuilding as well as the vegetation. Property owner had a burn pile earlier in the day. He saw what appeared to be a rat or large mouse run out of the burning pile and into the outbuilding. Approximately 30 minutes later, he noticed the outbuilding on fire. The cause is still under investigation.
Wow, that's an interesting story.
Yeah, I know. Pretty strange.
I've seen that burning chickens before.
Yeah.
There was a wreck in Paris. The chickens all were running from the vehicle, the truck, and they had spot fires all over the place.
Oh, wow.
Chicken fire.
And then this call, which I'm sure all of you know about, on June 25th at approximately 4:28 a.m., GCSD engine 781 and county engine 631, as well as Cal Fire engines 4476 and 4466, were part of a dispatch to commercial structure fire at the Groveland Community Hall. Upon arrival, engine 781 found smoke and flames coming from the Main Street side of the building. Engine 781 and engine 631 secured water supply while also initiating fire attack. Fire was contained quickly at 4:43 a.m. The fire crews then checked for any extension and worked on overhaul. The fire cause is still under investigation.
That's amazing in the time of morning.
Do we know if people were renting it that day?
Not at that time of day.
No, but during the day.
I believe your crew was the last ones in there, huh?
That was me.
Oh, wow.
I left that incendiary.
Wait a minute. Let me take a picture of that.
Yeah, that's good.
What were we doing?
Oh, that was a CERT and Safety Committee Pine Mountain Lake sponsors first aid course. We left at 5:30, and the only thing that we did besides making sure that everything was locked up is I noticed that there's a handful of heaters were still plugged in. And I sort of figured we didn't need them anymore, so I unplugged them.
Good job.
That was probably what
shocked the system or something. Mm-hmm. Wow. Thanks, Bob.
Well, suspicious, huh?
So I know it's still under investigation, but do they even think it was set from outside or was it wiring?
They're still checking. It was definitely, started towards the front of the building, what appeared to be underneath that overhang area. It looks like it. Yeah. And that's where the majority of the damage was.
There was a huge trash can smear of our stuff on the left side of that building.
There was?
Oh, yeah.
So maybe somebody put a cigarette in there or something like that.
Could be part of it.
Mm-hmm. It's a chicken.
Or possibly it's a rat.
All vehicles are in service and available. As far as training, in addition to our normal monthly training, we did fire engine equipment, area orientation, rope rescue, pumping, and fire apparatus engineer Du and Martinez successfully completed their academy classes, and they started at the station on June 5th. So as of June 5th, we have all five employees at Station 78. However, leading to my next item, our apparatus engineer, Patrick Cohen, completed his joint apprenticeship committee three-year training on June 22nd, 2023. As part of that, he was offered a fire captain promotion. And we'll get to that on the next page, but now we have a vacancy. Yes. And that leads us to fire department news. On June 19th, Cal Fire Tuolumne Calaveras Unit declared the suspension of burning permits, as I'm sure many of you know. On June 21st, 2023, Engine 781 attended the 24th annual roundtable lunch and gathering at Camp Tuolumne. We were able to answer questions from the staff there and collaborate with other responders and cooperators in the area. And Patrick Cohen accepted a fire captain position in the Tuolumne Calaveras unit. Is scheduled to start his new position on July 10th, so as of yesterday. Congratulations to Patrick. Good luck with your well-deserved promotion.
Awesome.
He will be at Station 56, which is co-located right now at Mono Village, Station 51. So he'll be in a Schedule A contract position. Pat will be sorely missed. He was a huge contributor to this program.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations to him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you lost Dave and now him.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. A lot of our very experienced people. Yeah.
Now he gets to rip through my intersection multiple times a day.
Yeah. as far as call statistics, we had 50 calls, three of which were aid to Tuolumne County. And of the EMS calls, 19 of them required advanced life support and 12 of them did not. And if we look at the comparison to June's from the past years, we're pretty on trend at 50. And year to date, we are slightly up, about 30, 40 calls up as compared to this far year to date in years past. That concludes my report.
You're finding that most of the medicals are ALS.
The majority of them, if they're getting transported, it's typically the paramedic who's in the back with them.
Right.
And then they have the ability to utilize all the ALS protocols. So I would say the majority of them, yes, especially considering the long transport time.
Yeah.
If they put a BLS provider like the EMT in the back, if something comes up or the person goes downhill, they have to stop, switch places. So it's just a safer bet to have the paramedic in the back with them. And when that's the case, we record it as an ALS call. I mean, even if they connect their monitor and do a 12 lead EKG, that's considered ALS.
Right.
They start an IV just to provide hydration on the drive down. that's an ALS item. So those are some examples of when we consider it to be an ALS call.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So we're on the look at, so we lost a firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
You've moved.
Yes.
Not lost, I don't know if you said that.
No worries.
But yeah. So we do we get transferred another firefighter from somewhere else, or how does that work?
The plan right now is the Ptolemy Calaveras unit already has 5 additional engineers in the academy. They were set to be extra at certain stations, so one of them will be coming to us. I believe that he finishes the academy on July 21st, so it will be a quick turnaround. So we'll be a full boat soon.
Okay, and do we have any comments? Any public comments?
Perfect. Okay. You would have enjoyed the meeting yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
No. Don't tell them how many people.
I wanted to ask,
no.
Are these chairs more comfortable than the ones you sat in yesterday? I think you were the only one here, Bob. I told both of you.
Actually, the ones yesterday were more comfortable.
Yeah, I actually made a comment this morning to the girls that I'd like to get, I don't know, 15 and 20 for this room.
Where did those come from?
Louis, I believe, ordered them, right?
The park. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they're park chairs.
Yeah.
Oh. But they are much nicer looking and more comfortable.
Original.
Yeah. I didn't notice that the chairs were like, there's somebody sitting in there.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
We had 25 people.
Do white, nice yesterday. Arms.
Plus us.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's
a big turnout.
Morning.
Nice. Your Bob's job didn't remember.
Yeah, I don't see. I counted like 30.
How many people were here?
I can't.
We don't have one of those little signs in here.
I counted 42.
I counted
in each doorway.
I had 32 without anybody at the table. So if you add everybody at the table, like this 30 will be at all.
Yeah, I was thinking about going to the bathroom for a long time before I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Might
not
get back.
Yeah. Oh, also, I forgot to mention, I believe the last meeting I was at, we had put in the request for a reimbursement for the PIM event from FEMA, approximately $41,000. It was approved that same day, and I logged in this morning and said that the disbursement has occurred, and so the pending balance is zero, so I'm assuming that GCS may receive that money in the account.
Awesome.
That's great. What was that for again?
The source capture exhaust system, tubing that removes the exhaust from the building.
Cool. Very cool. Wow.
Very important. It's amazing how much it changes the environment.
Have our gym in the app bay as well.
Yeah.
And it really is extremely noticeable. I mean, the air is just air seems much cleaner.
Yeah.
Just regular air without one without it.
And did you guys hook that up to the lockers where you store your turnouts?
Oh. No.
We just should. I mean, that's the way it should be. You should have that constantly venting the turnout lockers.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, luckily we have the extractor there and we have second sets of turnouts. So
Whenever
we do use the turnouts, we're pretty good about washing them and going to our backup set while they're being washed. I personally don't like wearing dirty turnouts.
Right? Oh, no. Not good for you. Another thing, too, they're doing now, my old apartment, is they have saunas. And when you come from a structure fire, you go right in there, and you ride the bike in the sauna to sweat it all out, and then you take a shot.
Yeah. Hmm.
Wow.
Oh. Well, that's part of the remodel.
Figure out.
There you go.
Yeah.
Massage room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
they're doing all that. First.
They're, doing, they're doing organ stands every year. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's going to be like Star Trek for the same thing. Okay, move on to the search report.
I'm just wondering if it's possible to sign the captain for the long term.
Yeah, don't go anywhere.
So, some things, CERT's been pretty active. We work with the Sheriff's CSU for traffic control, keeping traffic off of Baretti Road. And we're happy to say that for Friday and Saturday of the 4th of July weekend, the cars got to Baretti Road, but never on it. The CHP came by and spoke on behalf of the CHP and the fire department, said thank you. Neither one of them relished driving the wrong way down Ferretti Road, code 3. So we'll continue that. Our plan is it'll be temporary for a couple more weekends this year, and then we have demonstrated to the folks at PML how to do it. Particularly after the events of the last week or so, we're going to be partnering with the Safety Committee, PML, and Southside Senior Connections for personal preparedness workshops at the Little House. Got a couple or three of those planned, and also one or two fire preparedness workshops, which case we're going to call on Travis, somebody from over here, way to add something to it. We did partner with the same organizations for the first aid, CPR, and AED training at June 17th and the infamous June 24th. We're holding our next team meeting, hopefully here on July 29th, and we're inviting members of the public. There's three or four people that have stepped up and said, well, gee, maybe we'll help after the events of the last little while. I attended the National CERT Conference last week, ending July 1. It was pretty interesting. It was in Burlingame, and there were 800 participants, including people from 39 states.
Wow.
So it was pretty interesting. There were a number of workshops, and the one that I focused on was emergency communications. So I've got a guy that was involved with emergency communications. He's currently with Santa Clara Fire. He was with San Mateo Fire, and he was with Los Angeles Fire. And his whole career was centered around emergency communications with the population. So that was pretty interesting. There was a number of FEMA managers there, CalCERT management from the governor's office. Pretty interesting. Completed training, the first part of training last night. It wasn't enough to spend the day here. We went over and did 3 hours of training with CERT and the Red Cross. It was how to stand up a shelter, operate it, and how to strike it. Pretty interesting. Very clear definitions on a couple of things. A shelter is an operation of something that where people can stay overnight. If they're not staying overnight, it's not a shelter. And Tuolumne County has contracted with the Red Cross to stand up shelters. So if there's going to be a shelter, for example, at the GCARC, the Red Cross will be there. And we'll be helping them as CERT. Otherwise, it's a center. It could be a cooling center, it could be a warming center, whatever the distinction is, not staying overnight. Very interesting number came out of that. Across all of the shelters and centers and so forth, the Red Cross has participated in nationally, there's about a 3% rate of attendance. So you look at the population of an area, and about 3% of the people come and participate. The rest of them have done something else. And she said, if something is really dramatic, what they call a mass shelter, which is anything more than 1,000 people in a shelter, sometimes it goes as high as 4 or 5%. So when we have people on social media saying there'll be hundreds and hundreds of people here, it doesn't, statistics don't show that up. And because of the number that the Red Cross has operated, those are pretty, I think, pretty stable numbers. Finally, one last piece, which was done especially for the director that is not here, board president. She asked about this, and so official announcement, Roland GMRS, which is our emergency radio network.
Maybe we shouldn't give her one.
So this explains the network. It gives you the steps to do it. You buy the radio. It's basically a ham radio operation. It's a network, Neighborhood Radio Watch is the acronym. There's lots of acronyms for it. But basically, it's a two-step process. Get the radio and get a license. And the federal government has done a job that you would expect them to do, and that is they made it complicated. You have to get an FRO. Oh, there she is. This was for you, Nancy.
I see that. Thank you very much. We'll get one ordered as soon as possible.
I will email it to you.
Perfect. So
basically a handheld radio, about 50% of the size of the fire radios here. It will communicate. We're trying to find out how far it will communicate eastbound on 120, but it will communicate around all of Groveland, and some of the radios, depending on where you're standing, will get into Big Oak Flat. And all of these radios communicate with the relay station that's up on the ridge, which connects us to the emergency operations center of the county. So there'll be a ham operator over there listening to the radio and so forth. Almost every Saturday evening at 7 is a check-in. So you get on the radio and we'll write down the list of checking on people. Very, very infrequently people have traffic, but it'll be good. It'd be nice to imagine a base station here at GCSD. Not just a handheld, and the people that are running the network were excited to hear that there's a possibility of getting a second relay station. We relayed the idea that GCSD has property up here somewhere and has electricity and the other things that we need to run a relay. So we will give a couple of 3 weeks for people to get radios, and then we'll have a workshop where we can bring them and tune them up to the right frequencies.
Thank you very much.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of, yeah.
Come a long way up the whole surface. Just
so I know, huh?
The radios, like you perform a mock fire or rim fire, they can. People would be on those radios.
And it doesn't even have to be something here. When the Washington fire happened in Sonora, it took out the backhaul. And so we lost most of the communications that Groveland has beyond Sonora. So we could talk within the 962, within that prefix. But we couldn't talk outside of Groveland. And in some cases, you could get a prefix in Sonora, but probably not. And not only us, but Sonora and Jamestown couldn't get out because the backhaul was missing. So that's what happens when fiber burns through. At some point, if you would like, I can give you some particulars on the effort that California has made with some federal money to make a very substantial change to our internet infrastructure, and that will be coming to Groveland. But whenever you'd like that, I'd be happy to give you a short version.
You don't have a short version. But we enjoy
it. I don't need this abuse.
Nice, appreciate it.
Yes, yeah, very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Any other board comments? Members of the public comments?
I see none.
Okay, thank you. We will move on to the general manager.
I have a question. Can I get a question to Bob?
Absolutely. Yes.
Bob, you might have covered this because, you know, my audio isn't great, but did you say anything about possibly the CERT people possibly doing like a welfare check for anybody who wants to opt in?
Yeah, it's something that we're working with. Thank you for the question. We're not ready to roll it all out yet, but what we're doing is we're enlisting the Safety Committee for Pine Mountain Lake, Southside Connection, the Sheriff's Office, and CERT to figure out how we can package and be able to execute a welfare check for people. So when we have a situation like we had where the power was out, there's a number of people that can't communicate, or, you know, the comms, they have like one method of communication. If that's out, we don't know what's going on with them. And they didn't know, that was something that people had said, they didn't know something was off, but cooling center was here. And so we're looking at the legalities of it. We're looking at who should be doing what. We think that Pine Mountain Lake Safety Department could be doing it for most of their residents. We're compiling a list. We'll also be working with OES because that'll become the same list if there's a fire or some catastrophe up here that we need to find those people. It even involves TCTC because they have dispatched their buses up here to collect people that are transportation challenged, but we need to know who they are. And so a lot of things will roll into that one bundle, and the idea of being able to do welfare checks on people.
Yesterday, Nathan from PG&E mentioned that those that are signed up for the medical list with PG&E, so they get the medical, I'm not quite sure how it works. He said that they would come out and knock on the door and make sure everybody's okay, or that person's okay. Has anybody heard about that?
I haven't. I'm signed up for the medical program that they have. It, among other things, allows me to get double the baseline before my rates go up. And I got a $3,500 battery that will run my CPAP machine, the guy said, for about 3.5 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah. It's... Yeah, he lifted it up out of his truck and set it down immediately on the wheels, and it rolls around. So those are the benefits that I've received from, but I haven't gotten any indication of a phone call and so forth. But I got his card, and if it's appropriate, we'll connect them in with what we're doing. What we're trying to do is to build a database of people that are challenged in some way.
Sure.
And then figure out how we can best apply all of these different pieces to be able to basically deal with their welfare.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. I just wanted, I know you mentioned it while we were at the cooling center, so I just wanted to know if it was, I mean, I didn't expect it to be done, but it's still in progress, so that's great. And then you mentioned Southside. One of the things I happen to think of too is, you know, they have the drivers who will take people to different appointments and stuff. So if it came to be where maybe some of those people could be pulled into it to drive by and do the welfare check too, if they were willing to, or if it would work out. But anyway, thanks for following up on all of that.
Southside has a list, an already ongoing list of people that are either contacted by their volunteers or neighbors that have signed up to check on other neighbors. And so that's already going on at the little house.
What we're trying to do is to make it more usable. When the Mock Fire happened, I got a phone call from somebody at the county saying, what is Lucy's cell phone number? Because she had the database.
Yeah.
That's a link we don't need to have during an emergency.
Yeah.
And so what we're in the process of doing, we've defined some elements of the database that need to be there, and then we're going to put that out in the cloud so that they can update it and have responsibility for it. We'll be adding to that people that are outside of the purview of Southside, but need to be welfare checked. And then all of that will be available to Dory at OES without having to get somebody's cell phone number.
Right, right.
That's
okay, cool.
That's not today's technology. Sorry.
Thanks, Nancy. Okay, back to the general manager report.
I'm gonna ask a question of Bob if that's all right.
Sure,
about absolutely. The since PG&E says the power's not gonna go out now. That's the problem.
Over there, knock on the wood.
Yeah. what are the feelings about having a cooling center or just being prepared in the event of power goes out? Obviously, we don't need to if it's just hot. But if the power starts going out, or do you think we'll be able to pull people together? Or
I think we should be able to get some certain people with a company, somebody that would be here. From GCSD, the key is before the power goes out to give people the options, because there were a number of people that once the power went out lost their comms. And I talked to Dory about that last night, and she said they will make a decision no later than Wednesday morning about what to do. Meanwhile, I thought what I would do is pull together some ideas and send them over to y'all later today, so that I think it's important that we be able to tell people before the power goes out, if the power goes out, here's what you do. And my suggestion is that they be told to come. The county's not going to do it at the CRC, so they'd be told to come over here. And one of the options would be that there won't be something open here, but then there will be. So even if there isn't, there's a note on the door. If it's done on the weekend when you're closed, that says what the story is. So they'll be able to find an answer without having to go to the internet that doesn't work for them.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
So that's Dory's question by email was, she just needs to know if we were to open, what time would we be open? I guess she's going to be publicizing that as well.
Yeah, she was talking about the lower parts of the county being about 12 to 8 or so. I don't think it doesn't seem to get hot before about noon here. You know, if you felt strong about it, it'd be like 11 o'clock. But we enjoy cooler evenings than they do. And, you know, having it wrapped up at dinner time, I mean, not going to serve any food, so people are going to go anyway.
All right. So, near the 5?
Yeah, something like that.
That sounds great. I'd like to share an experience that I had.
Oh, no.
Okay. This occurred the day after our board meeting, I believe, on my 61st birthday.
That's awesome.
Are you okay, Travis?
I walked in. That's what I did. That's what happened to me. Okay, let's get a little bit closer.
Just
here.
The neck of time.
Okay,
that's awesome.
In there. Okay, so I walk in.
In the morning. That's so good. It's so
cool. And the first thing I see is Amber, and I'm thinking, okay, Amber's changed a little bit. Hairdo. I didn't even see the beard, really. You know, she's just as calm as can be. I look up and then I see Rachel at her desk smirking. And then I don't want to look around anymore because I know Megan's right to my right and I know she's gonna. Okay, so Megan was work from home eat. She has my, I don't know if you can see, but yeah, you can see the shirt. I mean,
you guys remember when he was working at home during COVID and he stood up for his teacher's box?
Shark jammies.
That's awesome.
Those are my jammies, actually.
I grabbed them from his wife.
Rachel is vacation.
Oh, gosh.
Pete. Then we have casual Pete. And then Jim.
That's so
awesome. It was board meeting Pete.
Conference Pete.
Yeah. Anyway, that was quite a quite an experience and a very, very wonderful birthday. We had a potluck at the park, and you know, it was
just tell them.
We got work done that day. So,
that's so cool.
That was a very, very special birthday. Can you imagine? I just about lost it. I came in. Rachel said, "Are you okay?"
Well, he almost fell over. I thought we were going to have to call a medic or something.
Yeah.
He couldn't breathe. Yes. It was actually really entertaining too.
Oh,
Andy said that his guys were out on water repair, had a water meter install. And so he called them and said, "Hey guys, just to give you a heads up, Pete's on his way out to the field." And we all showed up and they wouldn't even look at us. They were freaking out. They thought there was a whole bunch of bigwigs with Pete, because why the heck is Pete out in the field? And once we started walking closer, they were like, "No way. This can't be real."
You just can't live that.
That's so cool.
You know, you can't get the feel for it unless you're there. That was
that's awesome.
Well, thank you for enduring that.
Wonderful. Yeah.
There's just so much going on with all the different projects and everything. Nothing super monumental. Did go to the General Manager Leadership Summit that was held in Tahoe, and that was toward the end of last month. And that was just an excellent event. I focused my time primarily on sessions that were in the team building, and then also attraction and retention of employees, and you know, building the positive work culture. So these were really good sessions. I know Louie and Jen went kind of in a whole different track and got their experiences. So it was fantastic training. Well worth the time and effort. Other than that, I've been working with the TCTC, Tuolumne County Transportation Council, to get an agreement with them for them to be basically the lead agency on the Hetch Hetchy Trail project. That agreement, they've sent a draft that looks good. It's just got to be reviewed by county council, and then we'll probably have a special meeting on it. The reason I say that is because of the fact that the state is jumping into every pot of money that's available, and any projects that aren't moving forward according to a schedule, anything that looks like free money, the state is disencumbering that money. And so it's important that we get moving on that project quickly, because once we're on track and they commit it to the project, then we'll have them for sure. In order to do that, we have to have the agreement with TCTC. And basically, it's just a pass-through arrangement. So we've been working on that. We got our first, I don't know if you were going to report on the check from the state. We got our payment from Caltrans for the Clean California, which is probably the most exciting grant reimbursement I've ever received, because I wasn't convinced that they were ever going to reimburse us or approve us for any of our expenditures, because they couldn't tell us how to spend the money. So we're on track. The design work for the remainder of the construction that's going to occur at the park, which is, you know, pads for the trash cans, walkways, shade structures, the yards structure with benches, the landscaping. There's some drought tolerant landscaping that goes adjacent to the sidewalks and in areas where we can't grow grass, and dirt, you know, demolition of the bathroom. That is a project that is going to go out to bid here pretty soon, August. And has to be completed before the bathroom gets there.
So we're going to take out the old bathroom first, and then the new bathroom goes on top of the old bathroom.
Yep. Yeah, we were going to move it, but it required a lot of structural fill and retaining walls and just engineering and cost, and it just makes sense. We're, you know, that building isn't getting us anything sitting there, and that space is, I mean, I guess we could use it, but
That'll be nice and feedback set up. Yes.
Maybe the fire department could destroy it.
Burn it.
That's all.
That's all metal.
Training.
Metal
and
training.
She wouldn't want to be in there.
Let's put the doser blade on the engine.
So, other than that, just trying to get the project going forward, and I'm going to leave it with that.
Sounds good.
So, what was the reimbursement?
Close to 200,000, I think.
180.
Yeah.
Six or something.
Yeah. Wow. So it was our first chunk of the bathroom. Plus, they also approved the engineering to work with both Alfonso's team and with WRT that was doing the landscape design stuff.
Cool.
Layout.
Good stuff.
So yeah, that's just fantastic.
Somebody's got the turning rate. The turning radius is for the 55-foot buses in there. Is any of that geometry going to change?
We're not building anything in the parking lot.
So, okay.
It's going to be, it's directly adjacent to, we'll at our next meeting and before we go out to bid, we'll put the drawings up. They're almost done. So we can actually see what the layout is. It's over, close to the, close to where the large barbecue is on the upper part. It's really nice. It's
going to be
really nice.
The Yards buses, the new Yards buses are slightly longer. They just barely make those turn. So if that geometry doesn't change.
We're going to need to do something about that because people park sporadically all over the place and people camp, and then the bus shows up and, you got every third space is taken up and it's just odd. So anyway.
Well, the fun part becomes if PG&E ever brings those generators in and parks them there. I went through it with a couple of the people at Yards because they won't be able to even park at all. So they'll have to stop over just east of the east entrance to the park on the west, their eastbound trip, but on the westbound trip, stop just past the fire station and the driveways there.
As long as they don't block the fire trucks.
Nah. I guess
I'm not sure where the appropriate place to ask this question is. What I said. How does it get?
Can I ask or make a quick comment?
Yeah, let me answer Bob's question.
Sure.
He asked about general counsel. That was approved by the board
on the 24th.
On the, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the 24th.
Oh, I missed that.
That was the one that you forgot or something like that. So, yes,
you were
did.
Awesome. I zoomed in.
Yes.
Oh, so we signed, we have a contract.
Yes, we have a contract with them. Yeah, we haven't done our entrance orientation and all of that. I'm waiting on Jen to get back to, unless we have an issue come up with the So yeah, it's Doug White is the primary. He's the general counsel for a number of cities and special districts, including the cities that are familiar with their issues, familiar with the county. And I guess one of his attorneys was one of the original attorneys that worked with the district when it was. When Kim Hill was going in.
Oh, wow.
How's an old attorney we're talking about?
Yeah, well, he's been there a while, I guess.
Yes, Kate Crow was really fond of that gentleman.
Yeah.
Yes. She was. She talks about him now every time.
He filled us in on his single
ballot. So, Nancy, go ahead.
Okay, actually, it was an idea Leo had, so he'll just say it instead of me.
Basically, on behalf of the fire department, I've had a certain alert before, and if there's a way you can shelter the generator somewhat underground, not necessarily totally underground, but because it's going to be close to the fire station, that's the last thing those guys need is to have a generator and noise going off while they're trying to get some rest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's assuming we're going to get permanent generators.
Right. Yeah, I've been thinking about that. And we need to have their logistics people come out, because I believe there may be a way to just have them in the lower park and maybe end to end, and then have some way where they had the connection point down below. They'd have to run a conduit down the hill or something. You know, we'll see. I'd like to put them down and out of sight and out of, they're supposed to be pretty quiet, but they are very large.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a thought for sure. We don't want to put it outside your bedroom window.
And then just because I kind of keep cutting out every now and then because we're in the middle of nowhere and we kind of have a good connection right now, I just have one other comment, and then that way I don't care if I get cut off anymore. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of off topic. I should have said it yesterday when we had a room full of people, but I didn't think of it until this morning when I saw and read Ronnie's fabulous post on the summary for yesterday. And I just wanted to comment on what a fabulous job she does all the time. And especially a couple of weeks ago, we just went into the door and our old neighbors from when we were renting sat and chatted, hadn't seen them for a long time. And just out of the blue, she says, oh, and like, you know, can I just tell you that Ronnie gal that does the information for GCSD, I don't know what we would do without her. She is just fabulous. And you know, just like an elderly woman would, she just went on and on and on about what a great job Ronnie does and all the information they get from her and how grateful they are. So I just wanted Ronnie and everybody else to know that.
Oh, that's really sweet. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you for sharing that. Sure. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. I feel like I have not been doing enough. So, but that feels good. Thanks. Happy to do it.
I think along those lines, I think we've entered a new, we've kind of come to a new level, I believe, you know, between CERC, between our constant engagement with the county and OES and from administration and you know, all levels, and this recent issue and standing up for the needs of our community. I think we had a room full of people yesterday here that get it, mm-hmm. and they will be our advocate and our voice and our mm-hmm. our helpers mm-hmm. going forward.
Can I address the board real quick? I'm and Pete together. Do we have time for that, guys?
Yes.
I'm just curious. When I first started the role, I kind of had a more personable, I don't want to say chit-chatty, but it was definitely a more friendly tone. We were really working hard to change the district's reputation, et cetera. And I think we've accomplished that. And I've just noticed myself, my information is very bullet point. And I think some people in the community need it that way. But with our Instagram, using there's an element called stories, and we can do something a little more fun and upbeat, as well as the bullet point stuff. For instance, Pete's birthday, I considered sharing that as something fun, but wasn't sure we want to take that vibe yet. So I just wanted to throw that out there and have you guys consider it and see how you feel about adding a more personal touch to our posts, or if we need to just keep it all facts and straightforward.
Your facts, the information you put out, I think is fabulous, because it is the information everybody needs to know. I see nothing wrong with doing a little bit of fun and whatnot. My only minor worry on that is if somebody would be like, oh God, here they are just partying all day at work and they're not doing, you know what I mean? Just because exactly. we still have several negative Nellies out there.
Exactly. That's
a little bit, I don't see a problem with it, because in my opinion, everybody should have fun at their job, or they should find a different job, because you should enjoy it.
Right. Certainly would be. I'm sorry, go ahead.
got a lot of grief after some photos at one of the conferences.
That was my bad. I take full responsibility for that. I was asked to edit out a wine glass and I missed it in the picture and I feel terrible about that. That was horrible. So that was all me. Staff was certainly on top of it and put the ball in my court and I dropped it big time. So yeah, that was ugly.
As long as you're asking, I'll, you know, say my personal. I like the fact-based stuff pretty much. I think that the bulk of what we do should be business-like in terms of our communication. But on the other hand, I'd say share the picture with Pete's birthday.
Yeah, well, that'll definitely be shared in the summary for today, that's what I was waiting for because I knew that the girls were going to share that with the board, and it's fun.
Just a small fraction of
right, the group. Right, okay.
I agree with Bob. I mean, you spend close to 50% of your life at your work, your wake life at your work. You got to have fun. If you don't, you're a boring, sad person. And I always had fun in my job.
I agree. I'm thinking the one thing that I wanted to get into a little bit was portraying our employees as people and members of the community. Mm-hmm. You know, so if we can get some to agree to a profile, you know, like we started down that road.
Yeah.
You know, we could have a little bit of fun.
It's for you.
It's nice.
Okay. Well, I feel like I have a good understanding of the professional / personal personas, and if I just wanted to double check that everybody was going to be comfortable. Of course, I'm not going to take over with cutesy. GCSD is now, you know, a story crazy entity. So as long as you guys were good with tasteful and appropriate amount of that stuff, I'll begin doing that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. That's exciting. Thank you.
Bob has a
Just a couple of ideas about that. I mean, that's what I did for a living. And that is, go over to the fire station and take a picture of the gizmo that sits on the exhaust pipe. I mean,
my son
worked there and what that was like. And that kind of is both the human side of what it is and taking care of the people that take care of us. And chase Louie and some of his people down on whatever it is that you go down so that then that gives you the option.
It leaves it wide open.
They're digging a hole or replacing
taking
something.
Taking pictures and trophies.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you do that, and it gives you the option then of saying, by the way, this person down here is Bill, and here's the sentence or paragraph about Bill. So it allows you to put him in the work environment, but then, you know, say it's a real person.
Yeah.
Got it.
You see it into the bar.
Don't shake his hand.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate that input. Great idea.
Oh my gosh. Thanks, Ronnie. Appreciate all you do.
Oh, souvenirs. They're souvenirs. They're not trophies.
Trophies. Those are the big ones.
Put them in baggies and sell them at
49ers.
Yeah.
And lastly, the LAFCO meeting was yesterday and the Tuolumne County Special Districts Association. And we're kind of getting in a groove with a core of people that show up every time. We were a little bit light on that meeting as far as the numbers to get to a quorum, but there was discussion about having some training and some other things that'll bring more people to those meetings. It's a real good opportunity to network and help each other out.
So this was the TC?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then we had the LAFCO meeting, and LAFCO approved their budget. They included money in the budget
for special district representatives to go to the LAFCO conference, which they have every year. So
they changed that. That had said that it would be paid for by the organization represented in the first preliminary.
Well, if they want to go, if additional people want to go. Okay. They haven't made the policy yet, okay. So they're going to make a policy. LAFCO's going to have a policy about how many can go, who should go,
right.
Just to make sure that, you know, the goal is that what we don't want to do is what happened last year. The yes. two people that the county sent, they rotated out of LAFCO.
Yeah.
So because the county rotates them every year. So we're That's encouraging them to try to keep them on for the entire term. You know, they can stay up to 4 years. So
why would they ever rotate a man?
It's just been their practice from they always rotate committees every year. They just do it. It's the chair's discretion and they usually move people around. They just don't sometimes they don't think about, you know, the fact that it takes a while to get to know.
We need to things. Learn.
So I think they'll change it. I think they'll change it up. Supervisor Happ is our representative, she's the chair. So I think she could have some influence on changing that. So LAFCO, you know, it's great to see the special district as part of it. You know, we have had our two people there, and they're functioning well. So we use that special district meeting in advance to talk about our position on what's going on with LAFCO.
Could you want to hit on the CSDA Pomona County Chapter Award? Maybe not everybody knows.
You can do that. How's that?
One of the managers there, Eileen, she submitted very last minute the chapter award submission for the annual conference. And
for CSDA.
CSDA
chapters
awarded Tuolumne County chapter to receive the award at the annual conference. So it's kind of a big deal.
Chapter of the year.
Yeah.
This is the one we're going to in August.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
It's some good stuff.
Very good.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good in a small county to be able to have your districts organized enough to get that together and participate. Yeah, it's just, I know it's driving the county nuts because special districts used to just be asleep, mm-hmm. you know, and now we're up here and functioning better. And anyway, so I appreciate the opportunity to participate in that. And
absolutely.
Well, that go meeting went well.
So Pete and Tom were designated to accept the award at the conference. So,
awesome. Cool.
Yeah. It's going to be a big conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's going on? I am on vacation starting on the 20th of this month. May even start in the afternoon of the 19th through the end of the 28th. So about 10 days total, including the weekend.
Okay. Well deserved.
Going down to see the three of the grandkids and my son and his wife. And going on a cruise together.
Wonderful.
A little short cruise. That Ensenada Catalina.
Yeah. Oh, man.
The Navigator of the Sea. It's a lot of fun for the kids, man.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to go nuts.
My grandkids love it.
And both of my children's birthday today.
Oh, nice.
11 years apart, same day.
That's awesome.
I have that. My oldest and youngest are 10 years apart, same day.
Well,
my sister and I are one day apart.
Master plan. You look the face when you say that. We have our final review prior to release meeting on the 15th, right?
I believe so.
So Thursday of this week with the engineering team. And then it'll get distributed out to you guys. I think it was
was it Spence and you?
Yeah, Spence and.
Yeah. And then we'll give you some time to, you know, let us know how long we need to have you take a look at it and reconvene. I would like to get it on the agenda, certainly for our August meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. For, yeah. Well, it has to because it's we got to get it included with the rate. With rate studies. I know she is. I know. It's the most important part of it, which is, and it's the hardest part.
First master plan, how many?
It's, oh, I think
it was
one.
Seven,
I think.
Oh,
I think there was a master plan in 07.
I don't know if it was complete.
Yeah. It was done when Long Gulch was being proposed, so that was kind of the end of the story. So that's the plan, and we're going to stick to that. We're going to make that happen.
Do you have more operations stuff to go through? Or...
There it is.
I mean, more GM stuff like that?
I forgot it all.
Sorry, guys. Sorry to interrupt. I missed that whole talk about that's the plan and we're going to stick to it. What's happening? What's the plan we're going to stick to?
The master water and sewer master plan after 3 years is in its final review. And we have a meeting on, internal meeting on Thursday to go over that. Thursday, Friday.
I don't know. I don't have it on my calendar.
Okay.
So
anyway, and then we would like to get it to the committee right after that and then to the board in August.
Got it. Thank you.
And that the master plan is what feeds the final pieces into the water and sewer cost of service rate study.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Okay, any other comments? Other public comments? Okay, we will move on to Louie and the operations manager report.
All right. Well, June was a fairly quiet month for us. So we had a service leak out on Pine Mountain Drive in our normal spot over there by the Lake Lodge. Well, we seemed to be out there. Wasn't too bad though. Nobody lost any water. Had this one service had to be repaired. And then, other than that, nothing else really sticks out for the month. Projects are all started back up. Right now we have the work starting up on tank 5 where they're getting ready to take the floor off of that and jack that tank up. We have the generator projects. They finally got the rest of their equipment. They've been on site since yesterday to replace the day tanks and a couple more transfer switches. So that project will be completed. The sewer project started back up or has been started back up, but they're in front of almost in front of the brewery right now. They're in front of Suburban Propane, getting ready to cross the highway there. Sorry, not the highway, but Wards Ferry Road. They will be moving towards the hardware store here in a couple weeks. So that'll be their next thing. And there's more projects. Oh, and then Express Sewers here to do some of the manhole coatings. They're back on site. They started back up yesterday. So they're finishing over the breakover from Station 16, which is from pretty much the SCAR Memorial Lane, coming back into downtown Grover by the Tesla station. So they'll be completed that hopefully in a couple of weeks. And then that whole project will be completed on that part of it. And then that's pretty much it on the whole project. They're moving right along. Everything's scheduled. No big problems as of yet. So
it's the thing on Upper Sky Ridge. Is that big enough to involve?
Yes, that starts on
the 20th,
or it's 20th, and goes to the 14th, I believe.
Yes.
So
that's my.
I think it's 7:20 though. It's not. It's 7:20. Sorry. Right. 8:20. I mean, sorry.
Instead of 7 months,
my mind is wrong. Okay.
Well, yep. Or the sign's wrong.
I didn't think it was starting that soon. Wow. Okay. Yeah. No, it will be. It'll be like it's the longest part of that project is just. or one of the longest job to that project is that section there. It's going to be a couple weeks of getting in, digging that thing up, and so.
How are they going to protect that excavation?
They're going to have to use K-Rail or something, I would imagine. For vehicles driving off,
yeah,
people jumping off, going over it, checking out the hole. That's, I don't know how you do that.
Yeah,
you can only do so much, I guess, really, right? Like,
yeah,
no fence or temporary fencing or something.
It's going to be a deep.
Yeah, you're looking at probably 20 to 30 feet deep, most likely.
Mm-hmm. Have we made contact with those properties?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Are any of those permanent?
No.
No, they're both vacations.
That are really close to the project? Yeah, no, they're vacationers. One is actually an escrow, so it took us a minute to find out who bought it.
Oh, wow. Look at him.
Yeah.
It would be good to have a site visit when that thing's opened up or something, you know, just a... That's going to be a monumental,
maybe the whole board
task.
Field trip?
Yeah, that'd be fun. So obviously,
yeah,
I'd like to see that.
Absolutely.
And I know Adam put out a little bit of a release to Ronnie, and then we had that sign board out there. And then we bought a couple extra signs for two way traffic because the road is going from one way to two way, so they'll keep people aware of what's going on, and then no through traffic, you know, at all. So. But we're going to build a big turnout so that you can turn around and hopefully nobody takes a boat down there. So that's a long way to back out. we've had notification out for a while. We've already made contact with the property. They're really be affected with the project itself, where the hole is going to be, and right in their driveway alone.
Yeah.
You know,
one of those dollies that go on the front end of the boat that you can move it around?
We have our boat, but it's
no boat dolly.
No boat dolly. Yeah.
Those would be nice to have if somebody pulls the boat down.
Well, they're going to have a turnaround. They're going to have a turnaround spot down. They're going to take some time. And like Pete said, I was at the general manager summit, and I went towards like all the leadership training. That's where I kind of tailored all my stuff to that. And keynote speakers were amazing. Great time up there. Networks that got to meet some of the people who are running we have a GIS system through Esri/ArcGIS, and got to meet with them. Already had a meeting with them after we got back, myself and Adam, trying to just, you know, maximize what we can do with our system. So it's really good information, and the training you get and the networking you get from those things, it's pretty ideal. And a couple glasses of wine here and there, right? So
I'm on that.
And it'd be a good concert, the blues.
Oh yeah,
that Tuesday was Blues Day.
Yeah.
At the end of the session, we took the free bus to the downtown, not downtown, but Olympic Village.
Yeah. Little village. Yep. So cool. No. But it's good stuff.
Any board comments?
Nope.
Any public comments?
I also received none.
Okay.
We appreciate all you do.
Yes, Louie.
Thank you. Got a lot of people to support me, so it's good.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, are you going to be the administrative service manager?
I am. Okay. Because Jen is still out on vacation.
Thank you.
We miss her greatly, but we're super happy she is taking the time off with her family.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Let me get to the notes.
They're camping?
Yeah, they do have their RV. They're in Montana right now. So as you guys already know, the last couple of months, her and Deb were busy with the preliminary budget, and we plan on presenting the final budget in next month in August for final approval. Also, Jen did attend the General Manager Summit with Pete and Louie. I'll let her tell you her experience and what she gained from that upon her return. And Deb right now is in the process of closing out the 22-23 fiscal year financials. Admin has just been focusing on their daily tasks, as well as Megan and Amber, trying to collect all of the outstanding debt throughout the last year, because we are preparing for county tax roll, which is on our agenda later today for public hearing. Amber and Steve had met with a gentleman from a file company, electronic file company, a couple of weeks ago to kind of go over what it would take to get everything scanned digitally throughout the office. So they do have some numbers, and they're going to present that to Jen, and then she will most likely present it to you guys. Also in August, Megan was able to get out the water quality reports in July 1st statement. So those have been issued to all of our customers. Let's see, the finance officer position that has been filled, and we are hoping that she will be starting on Monday the 24th. So kind of waiting for her pre-employment set to go through with job care, and they replied to me yesterday saying that it could take 2 days up to 3 weeks. So we're just kind of waiting for that to come back. And let's see, park set. We had our best turnout yet for movies in the park. Last Saturday we played Maverick, and we had at least 150 people there. Concessions was very, very busy, and it was a really fun experience. Yes.
That was a movie I didn't want to watch.
And we didn't see you.
We want to take our grandbabies
Yeah.
Sometime. Are you going to have some kids stuff?
I'll give you a calendar on your way out.
Yeah, you want to take it.
Yeah, that would be good. Since we're on the park topic, I did receive a application to have a booth for the 49er Festival. We've done it 2 years before, and we plan to do it again to have a booth for GCSD. So I'll be submitting that application. That's the third week of September. So plan if you would like to come down and hang out with us. Let's see, for Greg's department, I am posting a job announcement this week, hopefully tomorrow or the next day, for a wastewater operator. And we hope to have application deadline by August 31st. That way we get kind of through the busy part of the year after the holiday of September 2nd, and then hopefully we will have some good candidates to interview the first or second week of September. And then as you all know, as of yesterday, this meeting, we did open that cooling and charging center over the 4th of July weekend, and we were very graciously applauded for that, and we plan on having another one open this weekend if the power goes out. And that pretty much sums up administrative report. Have any questions?
Thank you for that report. You're a fabulous job.
Thank you.
And thank you for getting fired up and staying fired up through that whole weekend.
Yes.
Excuse me, guys. Would you someone be able to close the door closest to the office? We're picking up voices. It's hard to hear.
Yes.
Thank you.
So just loud. Actually, I do have so this file system. So maybe I've lost track. What is LaserFish?
LaserFish is like a file asset management, and so we want to be able to digitize everything into LaserFish, which also communicates with.
So the guys you're talking to are people that are going to handle the scanning. This is correct. Just getting the stuff in, but it's not a different file system. Or
correct.
Something like that.
Yes, it's just a, that will actually a person that will manually do the work. Okay. Right. And I do know that the quote. He did it in subsections through departments. So there's property files, a quote from property files, and then there's a quote for all of the years and years and years of Connex boxes that we can't get rid of. And then there's legal stuff in there,
right.
Or payables and stuff. And then there's another subsection of the quote that has to do with mapping and whatnot. So we can, once it gets presented to you, go through the different categories.
This company was recommended by Laserfish. Yes. They said they work with them and they know exactly how.
No, I mean, the thing is, when you have when you've got boxes and boxes of physical paper, somebody has to interact with it physically. Yeah. I mean, we really don't want our staff doing that.
There's a time limit on how long people that legal stuff.
Yeah, we have the records retention, and we have the plan. I don't know how updated it is. I think the last one we got was 4 or 5 years ago. So we need to just check with legal counsel probably and see what
it's the Secretary of State that puts it out, but it doesn't mm-hmm. change. And it's you know, there's the thing that we need to do is we need a thorough records inventory. I mean, this will, by default, to some degree, this will create a records inventory, but it would be good for us before we had the contractor do it, is to have a records inventory. So we know everything that we have and where it is, just in general. And then, you know, the retention schedule, yes, there's some documents that are related to property, that are related to assets. Those kind of things are forever. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of them that we'll find that can be destroyed. But in many cases, you want to scan them, because sometimes you need that history, even though it's not really a relevant record anymore.
Right, right.
What did they do last time and why? And this particular, you know, Laserfish has the capability, it can, when they scan the records, it can recognize a category of records and put them in the right place without manual entry.
Exactly.
It's like if it's a grant deed, it's going to look the same way. If it says this word in the title, it's going to go into this, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's just really exciting. We don't ever want to lose records again, you know, lose an understanding of what we have because we change staff
mm-hmm.
or we cut the budget drastically, and then all of a sudden we don't. Anyway, this will be a permanent long-term solution.
Great.
I wanted to just extend some sincere appreciation to Rachel. It's been, that's why I didn't have a lot to actually report on, because she's been on everything, doing everything, coordinating everything, 15 steps ahead of me. I'm having to keep up. And just doing a fantastic job, and you know, Bob knows and sees it all the time. She just jumps in and calls me in the morning and says, "We got to do this." Okay, you're right. Perfect. You know, awesome. We speak the same language, which is really awesome, because it works. It works for the community, works for the district, works for our employees. You know, and so much appreciation for all you do. It's just above and beyond. And also we're able to recruit the assistant county auditor, who's going to, the employee that's going to be joining us. Oh. Sorry.
I was waiting for somebody to ask, Debbie but Bautista. Nobody asked.
I'm sorry, Debbie Bautista, because it was her second. But that has always been one of our goals, to be able to attract someone that actually fit the model mm-hmm. of what we're looking for and what we need. And so that's awesome. I hate taking anything from the county, but this person is a Groveland resident and has been, and it's gonna just be just what we need to get us through the next few years of.
She's a perfect fit.
Yeah. Cool. You will join us when?
We're hoping the 24th. Which is actually the Monday that Jen gets back, so that works out really good. He'll be gone, Jen will be back, and she's supposed to be starting that day. So it'll work out good.
Super good.
Yeah, I think that we're done with staff reports at this point, so I think we can go straight to the
central calendar.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Janice, did you second that?
Yes.
Okay. If you want to just call All in favor? Or all?
Well, do we have any public comment?
Do we have any public comment on the consent calendar?
We do not.
No. Okay.
So, for the consent calendar, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to the district public hearing portion of the meeting to receive public comment and input for the placement of delinquent charges for the fiscal year 2022-2023 on property tax rolls.
Okay, I'll go ahead and present this. Normally,
yes.
Agendas.
Yes.
Obviously, this is before you guys every year in July. This is one of the ways that the district can collect monies for delinquent and unpaid charges on people's utility accounts. And let's see, this year there is a board report in there for you for unpaid charges for the 22-23 fiscal year. There's 40 accounts on there. Just over $33,000 in comparison to last year. There was 45 accounts and $113,000. So that's a huge difference. We started locking off water meters for past due balances back 1 year ago, basically next month. It was in August.
Yeah.
And so obviously that has been very effective to keep this delinquency down. I do have the numbers from last year. Of that $113,000 that we filed liens on and tax roll on, we have been paid $93,000 back from the valorem taxes and all that property taxes. So that looks pretty good. And like I said, this year we're just barely over $33,000. All of the notices to property owners were mailed out on June 9th, notifying them of this public hearing today. And when we first sent the notices out, we were closer to $50,000. So the girls have been actively on the phone trying to contact customers. People got their notices and called in voluntarily to bring that balance down about $20,000. And then the public hearing notice was published in the Union Democrat on June 24th. And if the board approves this resolution, we will get this resolution and all of the liens over to the county by August 1st, and they will be ready for the 23-24 county tax roll.
I just have a question.
Sure.
This is just because I'm just looking at the distribution here.
Uh-huh.
So it's easy to understand that we're leaving the 26-70-08, which is Jane Hansen, 5 years ago. So that's probably just the property. Nobody's dealt with it yet. And there's $2,000. How do we have so many like $104.72 things?
Actually, that's a good topic. We realized that a lot of the vacant lots in Pine Mountain Lake, they kind of transfer without escrow demand because we don't. Vacant lots are in our utility billing system as non-billable. There's a billing cycle code 1, which bills you every month because you have monthly fixed rate fees. And so that is in billing cycle 1. Vacant lots are in billing cycle 2 because all there is a stub fee,
right,
but they're not associated with monthly billing for some reason. So escrow companies on a vacant lot don't necessarily
tell us
that they're changing lots. So then this new property owner will have a new vacant lot for a year or two, but only at $2 a month. And so it takes us, because we run an aging, when we do the past due, we do a 60 or 90 day past due aging. So it takes those vacant lots maybe 2 years to get to that dollar amount where we see, oh, we haven't been paid.
Mm-hmm.
So That is what those very minimal amounts are. We were able to collect a lot of those, and people were surprised. They were like, had no idea that they even had a stub out at their vacant lot. And so they paid and paid ahead, you know, $24 a month, I mean, a year, you know, wow. So. So,
okay, yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So that's actually, I mean, so really, there's only maybe a.
We'll take out all the little
eight or nine really big ones this time around. So it's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask the one property owner's name that shows up here more times. Is that an apartment building?
Are you talking Perry. About Perry?
Yes.
Yes, he has multiple. He has been a habitual tax lien person. He's on there every year.
Pretty small size, so those are big lots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been on there pretty much every year. He wasn't on there last year. I think he finally got current last year. But prior to that, I remember him being on the tax roll list since I started in 2017.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Something to strive for, I guess.
Yeah.
That's a record.
Maybe become one with five.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going to go.
No, go ahead.
I was going to move to approve resolution number 34-2023, resolution of the board of directors regarding collection of delinquent charges. I'll second.
Thank you.
Do you want to read any of this, Rachel?
Yes, please.
Well, I'll just say for the record, in case anyone is paying attention, we have no members of the public in attendance, and we have a GCSD consultant, and we have a board member acting as a member of the public online. So there wasn't really anyone to testify in the public hearing portion. So we basically opened.
Oh, sorry, we should have closed.
And closed the public hearing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to pipe in that. Uh-huh.
So I'll just read that part real quick. Hearing no additional public input, I will now close the public hearing, bring this back to the board for discussion and action. Do I have board input on delinquent charges fiscal year 2022-23? Yes.
In that case, I will once again move adoption of resolution number 34-2023, resolution of the Board of Directors for the Community Services District regarding collection of delinquent charges.
I will second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much.
I almost voted. I don't know why.
You did. You should have.
Okay, we will, without any other further discussion, if you've got anyone to say anything else. Okay, we will close this meeting. Thank you, everybody, for attending.
Thank you.
Thank you. I got to get out of here.
Thank you for finance.